Tonight I want to talk about, in the example of Paul's life, about how God can use each one of us. And sometimes I feel like you shouldn't have to say it, but then I realize I need to hear it again, because there's things even this week. There were plenty, two or three instances this week where I thought, I really wish God would ask somebody else to take responsibility for this, or I wish for these people's sake, even right now, I wish for these people's sake there was somebody else that could do this job, and I failed. I didn't do what I should have done. I had to call and apologize to people for being in the wrong spot or saying the wrong thing. The more I think about it, all of us are in the predicament of, can God use me, and would God choose to use me, and why would he do that? And in the example of the Apostle Paul, there's a miraculous transformation that takes place, a conversion. He's on the road to Damascus, and God changes not only his name, he changes his purpose in his life. And Paul asked that question in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, what wilt thou have me to do? And he is ready. I looked over here because I thought somebody was standing there, but he's ready. He's ready to respond to Jesus. And Jesus wasn't ambiguous. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It was a personal relationship that Saul had in persecuting Christians. He wanted to know who they were serving because he wanted to bind them up. In other passages, it talks about he was instrumental in killing Christians and bringing them into captivity and persecuting them, however you want to say it. It was personal in his persecution, and it was personal when he turned to Christ and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So if God can use somebody like Saul, who became Paul, can convert him, can give him the new birth, give him new life, and give him use, then I want to remind each of us that if that's true, and Paul wasn't a super Christian, and neither are any of us. You might have had some times this week where I joke about it, but as a parent, as a husband, as a son, as whatever hat you put on, you know, we had an activity this week. I did a funeral this week, and in every situation, I thought. Brother so-and-so would probably do a better job in this situation. Or there's probably plenty of times where a godly woman in my life could be more loving parent, you know, than I would be by myself with my kids. I might not be the best one to do it. But God uses who is available and who is yielded, who is willing. In this case, even Saul, before he knew who he was talking to, he stopped what he's doing because of the blinding light, and he asked the question, who art thou? And God gave him the answer. So you might ask the question of yourself tonight, can God use me? Can God use you? And according to Paul's testimony, he was used greatly for wickedness. But God turned his life around. He converted him and gave him what the Bible calls in John a new birth. And Jesus said it, he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. A lot of us, when we ask that question, can God use us, we forget that when God saved us, he made us a new creature. He recreated us, or he gave us a new purpose, a new mind, a new spirit, the spirit that comes from him. And so when we ask that question, can God use us? Well, he's the only one that could save us, so if he could save us, he can use us. The Apostle Paul probably dealt with this as much as each of us do, but there were probably things, for sure there were things in his past, there's probably things in each of our past that if we wanted to, we could use it as an excuse, as a hindrance. And it might be big enough to stop us. It might be a good enough excuse for us as a human being to say, I can't do anything worthwhile to serve God. But that puts God in a very small box. It might be big enough to stop us, but nothing in our past is big enough to stop God using us. Don't let that past be a hindrance. In fact, the Apostle Paul didn't run from his past. He referenced it quite a lot. You know, he talked about being the chiefest of sinners. Sometimes I think this is true in my own life, but in many people I've talked to, you hear their story, and you kind of say to yourself, well, how come I'm just now hearing about this change that God brought in your life? How come I haven't heard about it before now? Because those past experiences not show how big of a sinner you were, but show how great of a God that we serve. God's the one that removes us from our transgressions. In Psalms 103, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. God is the one that replaces bitterness with love. In Isaiah, it says, "For peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Again and again, God says, I did a great work at salvation. If God could save us, God can use us. Don't let that past be a hindrance. It's not a hindrance to God. God used every situation in your life, as he did in Saul's life before he came Paul. He used even those dark times, he used for his glory. Not because it was good work that Saul did, but he used God's goodness to bring glory to God. Don't let your past be a hindrance. In fact, let God use whatever is in your past for his glory. Your present problems, it's not your problem. If you're trying to serve God, those things that are allowed in your life are those things that we have to turn over to God. Moses was an old man. In our day, he was considered an old man when God called him into the ministry. He had fear. He said he had a speech impediment. Again, he asked that question, is there anybody else you can have do this job? You know, when God chose to use Moses' brother Aaron to be his spokesperson, it was kind of like Moses said, well, just go ahead and use him for everything. But God said, no, I want to use you. Many people in the Bible, Gideon, many people in the Bible said, God, are you sure you have the right person? Are you sure you want me to fulfill this duty, to do this job? And over again, God said, it's not in your strength, it's in your weakness that I can use you. It's not that everything in your life is perfect, that you got everything in order, and now you can be used. It's in spite of those things that God has a purpose and a will he wants us to fulfill in the present time. It's not a problem for God. It might look like an insurmountable problem for you, but God loves to work. Chooses the foolishness of the world to confound the wise. He hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. We talked about it in Sunday school, but God used Esther, a young girl, to save many from being killed. God used a young boy named David, who when the authorities and those that should have known, or those that knew who was going to be king, when they called everybody together to anoint the new king, they didn't even bother to call David, but that's the one that God chose. God, when he called the disciples, when Jesus called the disciples, he called them from other jobs, some not so glamorous, but the Bible says that they were used to turn the world upside down. Our past does not have to be a hindrance. In fact, God can use those things in our past for his glory. The problems in our present don't have to be our problems. In fact, if God has called you to do something, he knew what he was getting. It wasn't like he hired you and then he was surprised that all this stuff, you know, you came with all this baggage. God knows everything about us. I know many of you that have to deal with people, you get surprised when, I don't know, I should tell stories that I've heard, but you know, you ask somebody to help you get something done, and then after they agree to it, you find out all these things that are going to be a hindrance. But when God asks us to do something, he already knows everything about us. He knows all of our quirks and our character deficiencies, and in spite of all that, he has chosen each of us, and it's for his glory, not for ours. And probably that's why he chooses some of us to speak for him, because he said, there's no way if I pick this guy, they're not going to give him any credit. They have to give all the glory to God. And that's how each of us should feel. It's say, no, I don't want there to be any confusion. If you get anything out of the life that a person that I've lived, if you get anything out of the example that I've given, it's only because of God's grace, and it's only to his glory. It's none of our own. But I don't know how often a day you go through those insecurities and you worry about what people are looking at you and realizing your weaknesses. But God uses those weaknesses for his glory. He took the weakness of a woman named Hannah that didn't know what to do. She prayed for a child and she was desperate. And God took that weakness and that insecurity, and even among in her family, those in her family that should have been offering her love and support that she felt insecure around, God used that and gave her a son in Samuel that was a great leader because of her weakness. God took a young teenager named Daniel who was already in captivity and was willing to stand and stand before the king and willing to ask permission to be a little bit different, to be a little bit weird, to eat something different, to not defile himself with the king's meat. God took that weakness and turned it into strength. God used the mother of our Savior, Mary, to endure a unique situation that no one else has gone through, to live under reproach. Not everybody believed that her son was of God, but she endured that, and in that weakness gave birth to our Savior. I don't know what thing pops up in your mind when what thing keeps you from wanting to do something for God. It might be what people call depression or loneliness or feeling inferior or just wishing anybody else would step up and take your place, feeling inadequate. And again, I joke about it, but all of us have areas in our life where we just say, I can think of somebody better that God could use, someone from my own past. I can think of someone that I don't know why that person isn't here. But God says to each one of us, I chose to use you. And there's probably a reason, and we know there's a reason if God chooses us, that there's a reason that God wants you to stand in his stead. In the passage in Acts chapter 9, Saul gets, immediately he says he is obedient. Saul rose from the earth at verse 8. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. In the rest of the passage, it talks about a man named Ananias. He had heard of Saul. And God said, Ananias, I just told Saul that a man named Ananias is going to come and lead him where he needs to be, to tell him my will for his life, to give him back his sight. And Ananias says, well, I don't know why you use my name, Lord, because I've heard of Saul, and I heard he would like to kill us all. And is there a chance that it's just a trap and he's really just trying to fake us out so we can get more Christians? And God said, you know, in paraphrasing, God said, well, I already told him a man named Ananias was going to come in. And I'll read it for you in verse 15. God said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And again, God said, I need somebody to step in. I already told him it was you, Ananias. I need somebody to step in and take the next step to lead Paul to God's will for his life. And God said, I chose you to tell him that he's a chosen vessel. And sometimes when we look at our own life, it's easy after we get through it to look back and see how God has used us to be a chosen vessel for someone else. It might be an encouraging word. I know many people, it's harder and harder to preach in this church because there's so many people that have been just at the right moment. They've shown love or grace or forgiveness. They've shown divine leading. They have allowed God to use them to make an impact on my life. And when you look back at it, it's easy to see that. But sometimes when you're going through it, it's hard to trust that you are that chosen vessel. It's hard to get over your insecurity and the things that are holding you back and to say, you know what, God left me here and I don't see anybody else that has the same burden that I do, so I'm going to go ahead and say what God asked me to say. God said, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Sometimes the suffering is part of the will. Sometimes God's glory and grace come with suffering. It was certainly true in the Apostle Paul's life. He said, I glory in weakness, in infirmities. He said, in everything that God has allowed, it's so God can be glorified. So, of course, the answer to the question that we, however you want to say it, that we dumbly ask or that we shouldn't really ever ask, can God use us? Of course he can. But it has to be his in order to use it. And before we answer that question, of course, we need to know that we're trusting Christ, that we're saved. Not that we're just in a church or that we go to church or that we know people that have trusted Christ, but that we personally have responded to the gospel, that we know that we are a sinner. We know that we have a penalty, but we know that Jesus paid that penalty for us and trusting in what he did to give us a home in heaven. And then it's a day-to-day thing, how often we surrender to God. Our nature still fights against following after God. And it's a daily surrender. The Apostle Paul said he died daily. It is a fight to say, can God use me? If he wants to, am I surrendered and listening to him? Where he leads me, I will follow. It's being available. Again, this week I had to apologize to a few people because I was distracted. I was supposed to be four places at the same time. And I that's part of life. But I don't want to ever get to the point to where I'm apologizing to God because I wasn't in the place where he had led me. And it might be for selfish reasons. It might be because we don't think we're good enough or what he needs us to be, but be available so God can use you. And then being willing to be used by God. It's not something he forces. Even with Saul and Ananias, they both had the option to say, no, Lord, I won't follow. But both Ananias and Saul said, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The book of Hebrews said, but without faith it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So don't let the past be an obstacle. It's not an obstacle for God. Don't let problems in your present take you away from being an encouragement to somebody, giving somebody the gospel, saying something to a young child, you know, answering a question, answering somebody else's doubt. Don't let the things that are unique about you keep you from being willing to say what God has asked you to say. I got to do a funeral this week. When I was getting ready for it, I thought Dad would be much better at getting ready for this funeral. I should call him and ask him advice. I ended up stealing part of his outline for the funeral. I didn't call him and ask him for advice. When I got to the funeral home, I thought Dad would be much better at handling this situation. It was a hospice patient. I only met him 2 times. I had given him the gospel, and he told me he had trusted Christ. But it was somebody I barely knew, and I thought, well, you know, it would be better if Dad were here right now, and it might have been. But when it came time for the actual service, I never asked Dad for help, but he wasn't there because I didn't ask him. And they had asked me to do it for some strange reason. They had never met Dad. But there was that feeling of, well, I got to say what I feel like God wanted me to say, and I hope it works out. And it seemed to. I guess they didn't know any better. But but I got to give the gospel. I got to be a comfort to people that had lost a loved one. It was kind of a sudden thing. He had gotten sick, and he passed away pretty suddenly. And many times in our life, we look at where God has allowed us to be, placed us in a situation, and we look around and say, well, somebody else would be better in this spot. But God looks at us and he says, you're a chosen vessel. You're the one that was available. You're the one that was surrendered. You're the one that was willing. And what an honor it is when God chooses to use each one of us. My prayer for each of us tonight is that we'll be available for God to use us, that we won't let the things in our past hold us back. In fact, that we'd use those things, as the Apostle Paul did, to say, look how far God brought me out of sin. Look how far God could use me, considering where I've been, to use those present things in our life, not as hindrances, but as something that God uses us in spite of ourselves, and that he has a great work for each of us to do. So again, don't listen to the preacher, listen to the words. If God's spoken to your heart through a testimony, through the song, through anything that's been said tonight, we're going to have a time of invitation. We're going to pray, and then we'll allow God to work on our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you choose to use each one of us. I pray, Lord, as we approach the next challenge in our life, that we'd put aside our doubts and stop trying to bring somebody, not say somebody else could handle this situation, but Lord, make me the person that these people need in their life right now. Make me the example that they need. Give me the wisdom that probably somebody else had to beg God for that wisdom too when they came to that decision. Help us to realize that each of us are each of us are unworthy. Each of us are broken vessels. Each of us are not where we should be, what we should be, but you still have a chosen purpose for each of our lives. As parents, as teachers, as grandparents, as fellow Christians, we're somebody else's example. We're somebody else's Jesus that they're going to see, the example that they're going to look to. So I pray, Lord, you'd encourage us, you'd strengthen us, help us to be yielded to you, surrendered to you. If there's an area in our life where we've taken it back to ourselves, it's a daily thing. Lord, help us to die to self. Help us to give that area back to you tonight. Bless this invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.